This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you. This is Brenda speaking for the record. Good day and welcome everyone to the RDS Who Is Two Review Team Plenary Call number 14 on January 5th, 2018 at 1330 UTC. In attendance today we have Alan Greenberg, Catherine Bauerbolt, Chris Desain, Susan Kawaguchi, Lily Sun from we have no observers joining us at this time. From ICANN organization, we have Alice Jansen, Jean-Baptiste Derulet, Lisa Pfeiffer, and myself, Brenda Brewer. And we have apologies from Dimitri, Volker, Thomas, Carlton, and Train. I'd like to remind everyone to please state your name before speaking for the transcript. Today's call is being recorded. I'll turn the meeting over to you, Alan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And next slide. Thank you. You have on the screen the agenda, and it was sent out. Does anyone have any updates to the agenda or any other business they'd like to add? Nothing. Then we will accept the agenda as presented and go on to the first item, and that's the review of terms of reference and work plan. The terms of reference are currently with the board caucus group, and I'm told we will have answers by Tuesday, I believe.
And in time for the next call, I think, Alan, is the answer.
The next call is Monday.
Oh, I'm sorry. In time for the
That doesn't count. All right. Since that's 2 weeks away, I'm hoping you'll perhaps send something by email in the interim.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Sorry, my apologies. Yes, I have asked to get the feedback from the caucus group by, I can't remember now, next Wednesday or Thursday.
I think you said Tuesday, but maybe Wednesday.
Yeah, whatever. And then I will then put it together in some semblance of, if there is any, put it together in some semblance of sense and get it back to you.
That implies the answer to my next question of, do you have any preliminary input you can provide at this point? Unofficial, off the record, whatever.
Let me see if I can. Well, yes, let me see. Oh, off the record on the basis that this record is recorded. And
But you're not committed to standing by it.
No, that's very true. No, I don't. I have some input from some board members, which appears to be not. Perhaps the best described as not particularly useful on the basis that it is based on a misunderstanding of what they're actually supposed to be commenting on. So, no, this is not.
That gives us a warm and fuzzy feeling. Thank you.
Exactly. Exactly. excitement.
Thank you very much. And the work plan clearly is out of date based on what we're going to be talking about later on today. Jean-Baptiste, is there anything else, or Lisa, anything else to add on either of these items? I'll take silence as being no.
Sorry, I was on mute. Not on my side, Alan.
Ah. Okay. Then we will go on to the next agenda item, subgroup status and next steps. We have, I guess we should get up the next slide, please, so we can look at where we are today. Now, at this point, and this is on the first pass, which was just trying to summarize what the work was going to be involved, not doing the work. Of the 14 projects, I think the number is 14, we have four of them that are marked as complete. That is, a document was created, the other people in the team either updated it or have said that they're happy with it as it is. We have another 6 of them that have had some level of work done on them, but are not complete. And we have 4 that we have heard nothing on. what I'd like to do is, to the extent that we can, have people go over there, the ones they are responsible for, and just briefly outline where we are on them. And we have a relatively complex chart, which I'm sure is not one is not able to read, but it has been sent via email. And I see Catherine has her hand up. Sorry, I didn't notice. Go ahead, Catherine.
Thank you, Alan. And I just put it up. I'm one of the delinquent ones because I have to deliver a legislative project by tonight, but I have started, and I should be able to share mine with the group by this weekend, probably end of the weekend. And I will, I mean, the complexity for mine, as you will not be surprised to hear, is fairly low. So I'm estimating that there won't be much work to follow after the first pass, in fact, and that one person is probably enough to complete that. But in any case, I'm hoping to share it for comments with Carlton and Volker by the end of the weekend, and then once Volker comes back from his parental leave, he can comment, and then we can finalize. But my apologies for the delay.
Thank you, Catherine. Well, I'll go first, I guess. The first item that, the first one that is completed other for someone who's on the call, or at least in work for someone who's on the call, is the outreach one. There's been a lot of work done on that, and there are numerous somewhat overlapping ICANN documents. And I think our task at this point really is to look at all those documents and comment to what extent they meet the goals of the original recommendation. That is, we should reach out to registrants and others and make sure that they have the ability to understand what the policies are. Since the policies are not grouped in a single place at this point, nor are they particularly clear, this task was, can we put in plain language things that registrants need to know? And my gut feel is we're going to say, find out, A, there's a lot of overlap and not necessarily a lot of cohesiveness in how these have been produced, but there's lots of information out there. So that's where I think we're going, and I don't see it as a huge task to do the work, but really we're going to need a number of people to read all the documents and think about them and decide that if you were a plain registrant, are you in a good position to understand what's going on? And I'm not quite sure what the answer is going to be, but I think that's the summary of where we are right now. It's not going to be a particularly onerous task, perhaps slightly tedious, however. Lisa, Catherine, is that a new hand or an old? I'll assume it's an old hand. Lisa, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Lisa Pfeiffer for the transcript. Two questions, Alan. One is, in the outreach document that you provided, you listed the materials that you intended to review. I noticed that one thing that wasn't listed there was the Who Is portal, which I believe a big section of that portal was created to provide a basic description of who is that would be suitable for registrants as well as others. So you may consider that as one of your inputs.
I will consider it as input. I will ask you if you can add it, then please do.
Sure.
It wasn't intentional. I put together the list of what I remembered, and you're right. I forgot perhaps one of the most obvious ones. I think will yield some more overlap.
no doubt. But in terms of encompassing all the efforts for outreach, that was a significant one. And then the other question I had for you was under briefings requested and interviews and independent experts. Your document simply didn't have anything there. Does that mean you don't envision a need for briefings or interviews or an expert, outside expert to look into this, or just that you haven't considered that yet?
I don't think we're going to need any outside experts. I think we have enough people in this group who are not domain professionals that we should be able to do the work ourselves. We may well end up asking some questions and stuff, but there was nothing that was definitive at this point. One of the problems I'm foreseeing, not problems in difficulty, but problems with the content, is they have effectively been created by three different groups. And it's quite unclear just how much consultation and cooperation there has been between these different groups. So, that's what makes it more interesting, I think. But I don't think it's a particular challenge. It's highlighted by the RAA having two different documents it points to, which very, very similar titles and different content. So, all right, next item is Susan and compliance. And Susan, when you're doing this, if you could identify to the extent possible how this part of compliance relates to the major one at the end, topic number six. Are you foreseeing that we will have follow-on recommendations in this one, or do you think they're going to be, any group will fall under the new compliance item?
I'm having a hard time finding my document, as usual, but we haven't completed the template for the who is recommendation for yet, but your question was, state your question again, I'm sorry, it's early.
Well, the question you can answer at the end, and maybe when we talk about six at the bottom. But I was just curious, are you envisioning that we might have follow-on recommendations to the specific items listed here, or that they would end up being put into the envelope item at the end of anything we're talking about compliance? It's not important, I'm just curious.
I would imagine, I can't really say at this point, but if we see a large gap with recommendation in the implementation of that and the results that, may have been expected by the first who is review team, then I could see us doing a follow-on recommendation. Mm-hmm. So some of the questions, that we have in our draft template is, if the current reports provide the details described above in the scope objectives, and are the reports transparent? Any other details we should recommend including in a report? So that, I would think that right there, if compliance isn't being transparent enough, or, things have changed enough to, that additional details need to be included, that might be a new recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Is the current appointment of a senior executive appropriate? Who does this person report to? There's been a lot of controversy about that. Which board members are currently on the subcommittee? Do the board members have the relevant experience? Interview board members to ensure they do have the relevant experience. I'm sure they would love that. This is a draft. Any conflicts of interest? Does the compliance team have all the necessary resources to, continue to implement recommendation four? I think this is a really important one. What processes and technology have been implemented since 2012. I think a lot has changed for compliance since 2012 in that area. So I envision, quite a bit of work done around that. And then how the GTLD program has impacted compliance. So we have a list of questions in there. And let me see. I'm just trying to remind myself of what we did in December. So we would want to review all the relevant reports provided by the staff, and then interviews to be conducted with senior executive and for compliance, interview all management on compliance team that manage who is related actions, and then interview team members who work on who is related actions, and interview the board subcommittee. So we don't see a need for an independent expert, but until we conduct our investigation, we don't really know. It's really sitting down and looking at the scope of recommendation four and talking to the compliance team, several members of the of management on the compliance team.
So you've outlined what sounds like our first really major amount of work that we're talking about so far in this project.
Yeah, but I also feel like because I think I also have subgroup seven, which is compliance, that it is, I think it I'm not sure that we match up completely with numbers, but some of this is overlap. So investigating recommendation four, we could also get some of the answers for compliance for subgroup seven.
Okay. Any comments on this? Thank you, Susan, for that.
No,
Lisa, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Susan, I'd like to thank you for outlining some of the briefings that you might need and some of the interviews that you envision, because that does help ICANN.org understand what follow-up actions will be needed to support this group. So I just wanted to really acknowledge that and hope that we can seek that kind of input from other groups that have meaty work to do. I was wondering, based on your initial discussion from about this recommendation and also about the topic on compliance, if you see it useful to have them as distinctly separate, or would suggest that there's enough overlap that they should be possibly handled by a single subgroup?
That's a good question, and I think we sort of talked about that in Brussels, didn't we, or did we not? I feel like maybe I thought about that. I think I'm just looking at the members, too, and I'm also using the wrong, I guess I'm topic seven and subgroup six. I don't know. We could give that some thought. I mean, there's definitely different members between the team, some overlap. Looks like Erica Mann. So Thomas Walden is on compliance for recommendation four, and Erica Mann and I. So there's overlap. Thomas is the only one that does not overlap, it looks like. But you know, I think we will be interviewing some of the same compliance management team. The difference, and you know, sort of going out of order here, if I speak to the just the subgroup six, topic seven, is that we'd also be reaching out to the community and asking questions, and then taking action or investigating farther or reviewing in more in depth based on those community input. And maybe that's appropriate also for recommendation four. I'm not sure. So I don't know. What would you recommend?
I think when we put together these subgroups, they were specifically for, you know, this first pass work planning. And that knowing that we might adjust group size and composition, you know, based on some of that planning. And just listening to you go through that, my impression would be that it would be helpful to have a single subgroup responsible for both of those items that are within scope of the review team, so that you don't duplicate efforts and you know, maximize the time that you have available from team members, even if the output for those two scope items are distinctly separate. Having the same set of people work on them together just sounds like it makes sense.
Yeah. Now, and just in reviewing both of these documents now, that does make a lot of sense. So I would define if that's what the review team thinks we should do. I would be fine merging those two.
Thank you. It's Alan. I guess when I look at most of the work we're doing, a fair number of them are going to be relatively cursory. They'll require some reading. And recall, for everything in the past recommendations, ICANN.org has said, you know, they've all ticked them off with a green tick mark, that everything is done. So hopefully we're going to find for a fair number of those that indeed the work is done. And I suspect for the compliance parts as well. But there are relatively few items that we know at this point are going to be really substantive and take significant effort to do. And compliance, both in the evaluation of Rec 4 and in the new item, I think fall in that category. So I think it's quite reasonable if we end up exceeding the size of the team that you're suggesting right now. Because right now you're suggesting three people. And I think this is going to be a fair amount of the meat of what we're doing in this overall review. And we may well want a larger group and try to figure out how we use these people effectively.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Any further comments on this item? Lisa points out the five is identified for the compliance topic subgroup. So if indeed we have the same group, then we've just effectively done what I just said. But we also are going to have to make sure that that the other work goes to other people, so to make sure we're balancing the workload to at least some extent. Susan, I'm not sure we'll be able to balance the workload for you at all.
That's fine.
Lily, are you in a position to tell us where you are on the data accuracy ones?
First of all, I apologize. I only submitted the first pass planning document today. So I'm not sure whether Catherine had the chance to review it yet. Actually, the data accuracy, I found this topic is very interesting. I agree with you, Alan. According to ICANN.org, all the recommendations have been implemented. But the term, when it comes to the term accuracy, when I read through the final report of the first who is review team, I found there were two progressive meaning of the accuracy. One is accurate, and the other is about the reliable. I understand that a lot of effort has been put to improve the accuracy, including the syntax accuracy and the operability accuracy. But my impression is that a lot of efforts, or we are mainly focused on the syntax accuracy, but I'm not sure whether this is what we are really looking for. So I put the questions in the first pass planning document as about the implementation progress of the WHOIS accuracy program specification in 2013 RAA. And I remembered during the ICANN 57 in Hyderabad, there is actually this specification the implementation of this specification is still ongoing. And during that time, the registrars, they are discussing about a strawman proposal, how to cross-validate the postal address. So I will go through the briefing report to see the implementation progress to answer this question. The second question I put in the planning document is about the progress of the food accuracy reporting system. I understand that this project is to take proactively measures to identify the potentially inaccurate food data. So I'm curious about how this project can validate the operability accuracy of the food data. And also, I put the third question as the accurate rate of the food data, which under privacy and proxy services. I didn't see any conclusion in the briefing report about this topic. And the fourth question is the final conclusion about other measures which have been taken effectively in achieve the objectives of the recommendation 5-9. So I put the four questions to answer in this topic's review, and I put the complexity of this topic as 3, and the workload as 4, and I think we should put the ideal subgroup sub-team size is 5. We should put restaurant, and the ICANN implementation team, and also the law enforcement agency, all be represented in the review. So that's all from my side. I will be waiting for the other subgroup members' comments on this first pass planning document and to identify the way forward.
Thank you, Lily. And
that's it. Yes.
Yeah. Clearly, this is the other one that has real substance in it and will require a fair amount of work. How many people did you estimate to work on this project?
I identified 5
okay.
So far.
Good. We potentially, therefore, have taken the team of 10 and divided them in 5 and 5 between the subset of projects. I suspect there is a significant amount of overlap between those, perhaps. So, any comments? Lisa, please go ahead.
Thank you. Lily, thanks for that overview. I was wondering if you mentioned that you looked at the implementation briefing and identified a potential gap. I was wondering if you looked at the materials that were listed on the subgroup page and also determined whether you might need additional materials. The reason that I ask this is the sooner that we know what materials you need and when there are gaps, the better prepared we can be to support that request.
So far I need to go through the reports, the PDF document carefully, and to identify whether I need further materials. But at present, I couldn't come up with any request from ICANN.org for that topic.
This is Lisa in follow-up. You may find if you visit the subgroup wiki page, there are hyperlinks to at least the key documents that were referenced in the briefing.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah, and that may provide you a sort of quick way to navigate to all of those when you get to that point. Thank you.
Okay, I'll keep on updating this first-pass planning document. Once I identify any further materials I need, I will let the ICANN staff know.
Thank you. Any further comments? All right. Who is the next one? I've lost track of where we are. And I can't find the right document. Data accuracy. Volker is the next one. He is not here.
Volker is not here.
And Dimitri's not here. And the next one is Lily, who is recommendations 1516, plan and annual reports.
Ah, okay. yeah, Alan, I received your comments on the first pass planning document, and I agree with you. And, actually, for this topic, it's really a summarize of the conclusions of other subgroups. So I would defer this topic's work until we have some conclusions from other subgroups.
And indeed, this one will be an interesting one. To the extent that we find there are things that we do not believe are complete, the interesting to think about what are we going to recommend to the ICANN board to address the issue, assuming it happens, we haven't decided that yet, that there are items that ICANN staff deem to be complete and we believe are not complete. So it'll be interesting as we go forward to think about just what are we going to recommend and how do we both phrase it and what kind of action can one take. But maybe it won't happen. Next item is anything new, Stephanie? And Stephanie is not with us. Law enforcement needs Thomas. Thomas is not with us. Consumer trust, Erica. Erica is not with us. Safeguard registrant data, Alan. this one at the moment is relatively simple. There basically isn't anything safeguarded, and it's an easy conclusion. The more challenging question is going to be an item that we have a little bit later in the agenda of exactly what are we reviewing? Are we reviewing who is as it was the day we convened, or are we reviewing who is essentially at the time we finalize our recommendations? The difference, of course, being by the time we get there, we will have implemented some sort of interim GDPR. We have taken some action, let us say, in regard to GDPR, and that almost certainly will alter to what extent we safeguard data. And so one of the questions we're going to have to determine going forward is what target are we working towards? And that will change this item from potentially something which is trivial to do to something which has a fair amount more substance to it. So I'm not sure we can really comment on it, but I see Chris has his hand up, so I'll turn it over to him.
Yes. Thank you, Alan. It's Chris Despain. So you've got to draw a line somewhere, right? I mean, anything that you're reviewing that is changing all the time, and aspects of it are changing all the time, including, for example, new data coming in and so on, you could continue to review. I don't see how we as a review team could possibly hope to review GDPR, nor do I think is that there's a huge amount of value in reviewing what we all accept is highly likely to be an interim measure in respect to GDPR. And if it wasn't an interim measure, if it was a final measure, then it would need to be in place for a while before you could sensibly review it. It's a bit like saying, can we review where the current PDP is, to which the answer is, well, no, not really, because what's the use of that? It doesn't achieve anything. So I suppose what I'm saying is, I think if you the adjustments that might need to be made in respect to the review would be to exclude things because they are changing, possibly, and to caveat everything that needs to be caveated with a sort of overarching point that these things may change. But I can't see how we as a team could successfully hope to review what happens in GDPR. But maybe others have a different view.
Well, thank you, Chris. Let me give you the counter version. If we are going to be reviewing purely what things were prior to any GDPR action, then why are we wasting the ink to print it?
What?
You know, even if it's digitally, because clearly it has no merit whatsoever.
What an exceptionally good question.
One could ask that about the whole report, but I'm not doing that today.
I mean, I agree.
So
I don't really know what else to say. I mean, I agree with you.
I mean, not knowing what the interim solutions are, I think it will be safe to say that we will be doing a better job of protecting people's data, i.e. protecting their privacy, because I think the two map together, with an interim solution than we are today with the current WHOIS. I'm not sure that we're going to need to go into it in a lot more detail than that, because it is an interim solution, number one, or it almost surely will be an interim solution, and number two, it's the privacy commissioners who actually at some level have to say, is that sufficient or not? So I don't think we can ignore the fact that there are changes going on, but I'm not sure how substantive we want to do an analysis of whether they're effective or not, because it almost surely will change again.
Which before, I think is my point.
Before anything happens, yeah. So I think the answer is we can't be ostriches and stick our heads in the sand and pretend nothing is happening. On the other hand, I don't think there's going to be a huge amount to substantively analyze at that point. And Catherine has a plus one. Thank you, Catherine. But, you know, to simply say, no, everything is frozen, you know, I get better things to do with my life than review something which has absolutely no merit whatsoever.
Yeah.
All right. Next item is compliance. I'm not sure there's really a lot to add. Clearly, it's a different work, and one of my concerns in the compliance area is this potentially could be an unending amount of work with a lot of physical in-person time in Los Angeles. And I'm a little bit concerned about the resources that we're going to have to put into this to do it properly. But I'll turn it over to Susan, who's our expert.
Not sure I'm an expert in this area, but I definitely have experience with compliance.
You're the leader, not the expert.
Yeah, exactly. So I do envision some face-to-face meeting, a face-to-face meeting with compliance. We did that with a subgroup did that with on the first review team, and it was very enlightening. So, you know, I haven't given that a whole lot of thought. And, you know, it could be that maybe we look at this, at the members of the group and figure out who's going to be, you know, because we have several counselors. And so we'll be in LA at the end of the month. Maybe we can start some of our findings there. With some interviews, without the whole team, you know, whole subgroup team, flying in. Maybe we could do some on the ground in LA and then some, you know, remote on the phone. So I haven't really figured that out. I think for this compliance work, I think, we do need another, call, maybe subgroup call to, flesh out exactly how we're going to answer some of the questions we've posed. But in general, I mean, the compliance team obviously manages all kinds of compliance issues. We're just looking at a subset of that. It's just the who is. And now that could fall into, you know, may result in other compliance issues. But, you know, like a current one that just came up recently, personally I've found is that portfolio, GoDaddy and portfolio does not provide access to port 43 in the way that I read the requirements. And, you know, it's severely limited. If you don't switch IP addresses continually, then you're blocked. And so, you know, it would be interesting to use that as a, you know, question to the compliance team and say, why is this allowed, especially with such a large registrar and a member of the community? I mean, GoDaddy usually does the right thing, in my opinion. So I was a little surprised by running into this roadblock. But, you know, if we could use actual examples of real-life situations going on in the Who Is world and ask specific questions, maybe they couldn't address GoDaddy. It's the GoDaddy situation itself, but we could, you know, sort of broaden that and make that a generic question. You know, what do you do when this happens and review that? So I think we have a little bit more work to do on a plan, but definitely some face-to-face time will be necessary. So.
Chris said, just checking who's going to be in L.A. at the end of January. I would assume it is Susan Stephanie Volker. I'm not sure who's still on council this year and who isn't, so I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, Volker's not on council.
Okay. Erica, I think, is, though.
Erica. So Stephanie, I, and Erica will be there. And then, not sure, then it goes into the non-contracted party house intercessional. We may have some others there also at the second part of the week.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll send you my dates and I'll be there, Susan, and if we can catch up, that'll be great.
When is that? Which week is that?
It's the, well, I get in on the sort of 31st of January. You guys are
I think I fly in on the 28th.
Okay, so it's the first half.
Then I'm there all week.
So it's the first half and then second half of that week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's keep in touch as that goes on. We may have one or two other people, and I may be among them, who, if it's going to be substantive discussions with compliance, might be worthwhile adding one or two people if that's appropriate. All right, thank you. Any further questions for Susan on this item? This is the last item in the review.
I don't know. Did anybody have questions? I'm not looking at the...
I don't think so. I've been just sort of watching.
So Lisa has her hand up.
Yeah, Lisa, go ahead.
Just quickly. Susan, one of the things that staff did to prepare for today's call was look at the requested materials and make sure that they are all on the wiki for each subgroup, but I felt that under this item, maybe one or two of these were not already on your wiki. The CCT review report, of course, is available, at least in draft form, and a number of compliance reports are linked to your subgroup's wiki. Do you feel that there's reports on inaccuracy reports that have not been provided to you? And could you give us a little bit more description of what you want that's not there, as well as I think that your last item, reviewing registrars that have failed to adhere to the process, you may be looking for something more than is currently available. But basically I'm looking for feedback on what here do you think is not available to you already.
and I'd have to go back over on the inaccuracy reports, but I just get the I have an issue with the compliance reports often in that they're not granular enough to really make an assessment of anything. From a high level, they're great. You know, they provide input, but I think I think in an interview situation, we could drill down and ask more in-depth questions, which would result in other data being surfaced. So the report, I'm not expecting the published report to provide all the data that we need to do our job here. And then also with the registrar, last time I looked, there's definitely, when they review a registrar and if they are compliant, it's pretty high level in general. Like this GoDaddy issue that I've hit recently, that's a prime example is that happening all the time? I know they do a cursory check of port 43, but in their check would GoDaddy pass? Because yes, you can look up one domain name, via port 43, but if you went back with the same IP address, you're going to get blocked. Is that kind of, evaluation being done by compliance? So I'm not sure any of the published reports, or I'm not aware of any published reports that would be more helpful. So I guess that could be a question. Is there other reports we should be looking at?
So would it be fair, this is Lisa again, would it be fair to maybe qualify those last two bullets that the specifics of that request would be fleshed out during interviews?
Yes, that's a good point.
That helps us in kind of planning how to organize the next steps, that interviews need to come first before additional materials are developed. So thank you for that clarification.
I'm just making a note of that. And if we're through on compliance, I could give a real brief overview, if I can find my document again, on the proxy privacy recommendation.
Sure, go ahead.
All right, that would mean I'd have to find it. There it is. So just to help out, because, Stephanie was busy and Volker was out on parental leave, I took the first stab at drafting the template, work statement, and work plan, and simply took all of the components of the proxy privacy recommendation and popped them into the template, and then sort of gave my assessment or added questions. A lot of this work is still ongoing in the proxy privacy IRT. Some of this has been addressed in the PPFAI working group report, but, there's definitely some things that are still being debated, and this is an area where GDPR is going to impact this work, I think, because even if we finish this, then we're going to have to look at it. I think the implementation will have to be reviewed to see if it violates GDPR. I'm not sure exactly. I've not asked the IRT, leaders what they envision, but I can't staff that's leading the IRT, but it just seems like a logical step, because you will be, the whole process of the proxy privacy is to create a reveal process and ensure that the registrars or whomever is, providing the service is responsive. So I don't know if there was any, I have not gone back. I don't know if there was any input from the other team members on this draft template. But one of our major places to start with interviewing is to talk to Jen Gore and Caitlin, who are, you know, the staff leading the IRT, and get their input on where the challenges are of actual implementation. And then also, to me, this is a compliance issue, you know, is to discuss with the compliance team how they'll ramp up to manage the compliance, because I can imagine that once this is, you know, a required implementation by the registrars, that there'll be a lot of compliance issues because there's been, you know, there's very few registrars in the ecosystem that actually will respond. I mean, like GoDaddy and a few others. So this is going to require a strong hand by compliance to make sure this works.
Well, what is the timeline for implementation of the full privacy proxy recommendations? Not the WHOIS recommendations, but the original PDP.
So the PDP?
Yeah.
We're going to have the IRT is issuing a report. I would, you know, obviously we were trying to aim for prior to this January, but but the specification has been extended. I would hope that if GDPR doesn't derail this completely, and I think that is, you know, something that should not happen, then, you know, by the end of the year we should have, or it, really in the next 6 months we should have a fleshed out implementation guide. I'm not even sure what you call it. And then, you know, I'm not sure how much time is given to the registrars to actually implement this.
Thank you. It's not really the registrars, it's the privacy proxy providers, who obviously overlap in many cases. But
yeah, I'm sort of using the registrar as a shortcut.
Yeah.
But one of the issues right now with this is it's the law enforcement relay and reveal processes are still being debated. I don't think those have been nailed down completely. I think there's still some argument there, some pushback from the proxy providers.
And that, of course, may well change with GDPR. So,
well, this is all based on purposes. And GDPR requires purposes, but you're right.
Yeah, I said may. But
yeah, that would be my argument, which is what we said.
All right. Any further comments on the review of the current progress? Okay, I think we have an action later on maybe not. We have, Lisa, do we have an item on next steps? And how do we get actual things moving? I thought that was on the agenda, but I don't see it right now.
That is actually where we are now.
Ah, okay, fine. Since I had asked you if you have any bright ideas during the last leadership call, I will turn it over to you.
Thanks, Alan. So this is Lisa again, and Jean-Baptiste has stepped us back to slide 6. Which is, so we've just completed, at least for those rapporteurs that were on the call, the status of the first pass planning document. We haven't actually talked about specific targets for getting the output done. I suppose that's one item that we could do with possibly a larger set of team members in Monday's call. But what you're asking about, Alan, is how will we address the next steps that are identified in the work plan. And the thought had been to ask each rapporteur to talk about how they envisioned identifying the resources and briefings needed, analyzing documentation, conducting interviews, drafting a summary of key findings, and then just to be clear, the findings of each subgroup is to come back to the full review team for approval, and then the review team itself would begin drafting recommendations based on those research findings.
I'm assuming that the sub-team will also put together any prototype recommendations that they feel may be necessary, though.
They can certainly do that in findings, but the goal is really to focus on fact-finding as opposed to developing recommendations for what what additional could be done or what gaps maybe you may have found. Flagging the gaps is one thing. Recommending how to address them, I think, is where the full review team comes in, if I understand the process correctly.
Okay, thank you. Comments? We seem to have significant problem both getting people on these calls and getting people to respond to emails quickly or effectively. If anyone has any suggestions on how we do that, or do we simply acknowledge that much of the work is going to be done by a subset, which I find rather unfortunate for us to acknowledge at this point in the process, input is welcome. Lisa.
So one thing occurred to me just in watching the regrets for this call come in, which is that we shouldn't adopt a mode of operation where we simply skip over a subgroup because the rapporteur is missing. If a rapporteur isn't available for a call, and I realize we're very early on in the planning process and some subgroups haven't actually spoken as a subgroup, but I think we should set an expectation that if the rapporteur is unable to make a call, they will designate someone in their subgroup that will, in fact, present the work of the subgroup and field any questions or actions. If we don't set that expectation, I think you're right, Alan, that we'll continue to just have people missing and be unable to make progress on those items because one person is missing.
Yeah. I would certainly support that. We can try. Any other thoughts? Well, one of
this
the questions...
Susan.
Yes, go ahead, Susan.
One of the things that we might find, too, is that, some subgroups will move forward in a timely manner somewhat, and others won't, and then we'll just have to bring them up to speed, as some of the work gets done, then we may have to add participants as people are freed up and so that we can, sort of encourage and urge people to work on things.
Yeah, and to be honest, if I decide to put a lot of my time into the compliance areas and the outreach recommendation 3 project lags, I don't think there's anything going to hurt by it. It's got to be done before we finish, but it's the amount of work in outreach or safeguarding resident data, to use the other one with my name on it, is so small compared to the some of the more substantive issues that I really don't mind if those lag, if we're really accomplishing significant work on other areas. And that's probably true on other ones as well. Now, it would be problematic if something lags and the person isn't putting their time into some other critical area, but I don't think there's a necessity for all of these to progress in lockstep. That's an easy management technique to try to make sure everything's working, but I don't think it necessarily will change the end product. But there's significant judgment call in deciding which is which. And Lisa says perhaps that's where this is where priority comes into play. I can't argue with that. All right, we are going to eventually, before the end of this call, which is in another 20 minutes or no later than 20 minutes, have to decide, are we holding a meeting on Monday? If we are going to do that on Monday, and I think that would be worthwhile, we really need to have staff reach out today and try to make a good assessment of who's going to be here on Monday and who isn't. If we have another call with only half the people, I think that's not going to be a good use of our time. So I would ask if that could be done essentially today.
Alan?
Yes, please go ahead, Jean-Baptiste.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to send a reminder that there is a call on Monday just after this call. If you can just what I wanted to say is that so far only Volker, who is on parental leave, is the only one who has not accepted the invitation on Monday, just as an FYI, but I'll send a reminder to all.
If you can send a reminder asking for positive acknowledgement that they will be there.
Sure.
You know, if that's done really near the top of the reminder, people may notice it. Assuming we're not at the point where all of your messages get ignored altogether. And could leadership, Lisa says, could leadership perhaps review the status matrix and flag any priority subgroups may need help getting started? Let's do that after Monday. What is the next item on our agenda then? So I think we have a plan going forward, and at this point we'll hopefully see how it unfolds and adjust as necessary. Lisa, please go ahead.
One quick item. I noticed that in all of the subgroup outputs, there's a table that lists the next steps. They were drawn from the work plan, but, of course, the dates on the work plan changed in December. I would like to suggest that we pull that table from the work plan documents rather than try to keep all the documents updated with the next steps and their dates in the work plan.
So you're saying merge that into the subgroup report?
The opposite. Each of the subgroup outputs have exactly the same table with old dates. And I'm suggesting there's two ways. We could update the subgroup documents, all of them, to have the current dates, or we could remove that table from the subgroup outputs. And at the time that we move on to the next step, we could reincorporate a current snapshot of the work plan and next steps.
I'm happy with that.
I suggest that staff take an action to do that quick.
Anything which says replicate data from one place into another and keep it up to date is bound to have problems.
Agreed.
So I would support not replicating data, even if it's a little bit harder to find. However, you might want to have in place of the data, a link to the report, to the work plan, to the current work plan. I'm presuming the current work plan is not a changing document, but the current one always has the same name. That may not be how we structure it, but it would be useful if it always points to the right document. And to that end, I'll note that, for instance, it's not the only case, but it's an example on my screen at the moment, in the current slide deck for this meeting, the hyperlinks don't work. I've seen that regularly, and I'm not quite sure why that is, but if we can
yes,
try to make sure.
Alan, on that, I can provide some input. I've seen that issue, and in fact, it's only with PowerPoint being converted to PDF, and there is currently no straightforward way to solve that, just so that you know. But if you convert an Excel to PDF, that's usually working properly.
Okay. In that case, can we also distribute these things as PowerPoints? Most of us have PowerPoint on our machines, and then at least we have working links. Lisa, please go ahead if that's a new hand.
It is a new hand. The PowerPoint to PDF limitation is only on Apple, the Apple version of PowerPoint. And so as long as we export to PDF from a PC, we can always preserve those hyperlinks. We can distribute PowerPoint as well, but with the caveat that sometimes there's font conversion problems when reading a PowerPoint on that's developed on Mac when reading it from either a mobile device or a PC. So having both formats will optimize your chances of having something that is both readable and hyperlinkable.
Okay, so what you're saying is we need an action item that all ICANN staff have to convert to PCs or Macs. Good luck with that. All right, yeah, if we do both, then we have a running chance that we might be able to find the documents. In theory, the documents are all findable on the wiki also, although that sometimes is a bit of a challenge. Next item on our agenda, outreach plan. We're starting to run out of time, so we may not actually complete this. Outreach plan, and who is taking that one? I think it is Jean-Baptiste, but I'm not sure.
Yes. I'm more than happy to do so, Alan, and I will do that quickly. We have been preparing a draft of the outreach plan that needs to be adopted by the Revit team as per its terms of reference. The Revit team will conduct outreach to the ICANN community and beyond to support its mandate. So I'm going to just put that quickly on screen and explain how the current outreach plan is organized. Just one second. I'm going to unsync it so that you can zoom at your convenience. So the document is divided in four milestones, so adopted terms of reference and work plan, initial findings, draft recommendations, and draft final recommendations, with a tentative requirement based on substantive changes. And at the request of the leadership, we updated the document with changes in red in this document, including a fifth outreach step just before the final report is sent to the board. And this fifth outreach step would be communication on final report. So looking into the document, you will see that each of these milestones is divided in three sections. So first one is the objective of this milestone. The actions needed to achieve the objective and the communication tools to complete these actions. And I just would like to outline that for this outreach plan, any outreach activities must happen prior to the official submission of the final report. So looking at the first one, out of the terms...
Sorry, Jean-Baptiste, are you going to elaborate on that? Because that doesn't sound right to me. Or we can wait till we get to number five, if you wish.
Sure. We can do this step by step. Sounds good. So on the first one, adopted terms of reference and work plan, so the objective would be to provide community with details on adopted terms of reference and work plan once they have been adopted. So here, a draft communication would be reviewed and approved by the Riveting leadership, and here you have a list of all the different communication tools to communicate on that. Second one, the initial findings. So this is to provide the community with an overview of data received, requested, and the purpose of this data. So you can put on potential additional data points, present results of data analysis, and set of initial findings. And so there would be remote engagement session that could be scheduled with ICANN SOACs, constituency and stakeholder groups, send a note to SONACs, board focus groups, constituency and stakeholder groups to suggest face-to-face updates. Reporters deliver an overview of findings to ICANN for slides and leadership to approve the slides. And again, a list of the different communication tools for those actions. And the third one, draft recommendations. The objectives here are to seek community input on draft recommendations, seek input and guidance from the focus group and ICANN subject matter experts on implementability of the draft recommendations, So potential actions maybe would be to have to organize an engagement session at ICANN 62, send a note to SONAC's work focus group, constituency, and stakeholder groups to suggest face-to-face updates, and also to have slides prepared and approved for that. Issue draft reports for public comments and organize two webinars to accommodate all time zones to organize those after the draft report has been published to communicate on that and present the draft recommendations. So again, you have the different communication tools that have been listed to support those actions. The fourth one, so draft final recommendations with a tentative requirement based on substantive changes. Here the objective is to request input and guidance from the community on implementability of draft final recommendations prior to submission to the ICANN board. So in terms of actions needed, that would be to organize an engagement session at ICANN 63, suggest face-to-face updates with SONACs, board focus group, constituency, and stakeholder groups, and have slides prepared and approved for that. And again, the different communication tools are listed here. So the fifth step, was added at the suggestion of the leadership, which is the communication on the final report, pre-board submission, with the objective to provide the community with an overview of findings and final recommendations, and share information on next steps once the report is sent to the board. Actions needed would be to send a note to OSOAC, board focus group, constituency, and stakeholder groups to provide an update, and I can have to prepare slides for approval and possibly to organize webinars around that, and you have the communication tools listed.
Thank you. I'm presuming you are saying that the communication prior has to be, in step five, has to be prior to the submission, because in theory the team is dissolved on submission. Is that the rationale?
The review team gets dissolved, but there will be review team members who will still be involved in helping with the implementation.
Okay,
But to answer your question, yes, the review team will be dissolved after the final report has been sent to the board.
All right. I would suggest that, and this may well be in the current operating standards that are under discussion, but I would suggest that makes no sense whatsoever. Once the report is finalized, I believe it should be in parallel sent to the board and a community, some communication be done to tell people what is in our final report. Now, I understand previous review teams have not done that, but I think that makes little sense, because I'm presuming the board sends the report out for public comment before they take any action. I think that is part of the current process. So it would make sense to have a communication program to, a set of webinars, and if there is an ICANN meeting coming up in the reasonable time frame, to make that kind of information available. Now, clearly that isn't done by the whole review team, but that seems to make sense. There doesn't seem to be any reason to delay issuing the report, which implicitly delays any implementation, waiting for the communication to be done. Now, if that requires a change in the terms of reference or the operating standards for reviews, then I would think so be it. But that seems to make more sense than delaying things. Chris, if you have any thoughts, you can weigh in. If anyone has any thoughts, please weigh in. Jean-Baptiste, go ahead.
Originally the reason why there was no step five was because under step four you would have the possibility to communicate on those final recommendations and still get some input from the community. This is also the reason why it was
organized this way. And I mean, as you mentioned, like for it's, I think the operating standards are still under public comment. So I mean, any input on that is always welcome. So I could only encourage you to help on that.
Okay, I'll certainly will. Yes, you're right. If we have done step four because there is substantive change between the preliminary recommendations and the final recommendations, then there may be much less need for communication as part of step five. But if there is no step four, then I think it's absolutely mandatory. So maybe what we're talking about is there should be something in the step four place, either because of change or to simply well communicate what's going on. I mean, if nothing else, there's likely to be a 4 or 5 month period time gap between the two. So maybe it needs to have a little bit more thinking on it instead of just adding a fifth step. But I think one way or another, when we come up with our report, assuming the year and a half we spent doing it is not a waste of time, I think there's a communication plan that has to go out at that point saying what it is that we've said. So you may be right. It may be subsumed by four in some cases. Lisa, is that comment relevant to this?
Yes, this is this is Lisa. So just an observation that this outreach plan actually tracks the draft operating standards. So I think if you're struggling a bit with the organization of the plan, you know, the final steps,
mm-hmm.
The most effective way to make that comment is actually to make it on the draft operating standards so that it can be adjusted and then applied to all reviews, including this one.
Okay. What's the deadline for that?
Wish I knew. Alistair's on that
piece. The 15th.
God, there's a lot of these deadlines at the 15th now.
Yeah, but the GNSO just received an extension for sending in comments, so I could actually see if we could add that to the GNSO Council comments.
All right. All right. I think this is going to require a little bit more thought, but I think it's a good start. Lisa, please go ahead.
Thanks. To make it brief, I think we may want to focus a little bit of time, not on this call, on the first step of this outreach plan and put into place some thoughts about who will enact those actions as the terms of reference and work plan get close to being adopted.
Okay. May I suggest we add that to Monday's agenda? And we will carry, we're just about out of time now, so I would suggest we carry over the GDPR and the face-to-face meeting discussion also to Monday's agenda. Had there been any other AO business on this call?
Alan, it's Chris. Sorry to bother you.
Oh, sorry.
To interrupt you. Just a question for you. Do we? When will we know for sure that Monday's call is happening?
It sounds like we have enough items for it to happen.
Okay, cool. I thought we were waiting to make sure people could be on the call. Did I?
We were, but since we didn't finish today's agenda.
Okay. No problem.
And we will certainly try to have Mondays. It sounds worthwhile.
Super. Thank you.
Was there any other items for, was there anything in any other business that I'm not aware of?
No, Alan.
Okay. In that case, can we have a brief recap of any action items or decisions made today, and then we'll adjourn?
Yes, Alan. So on the decisions reached, so we have the subgroup on who is one recommendation for and component subgroup, which are now merged into one group. We will have the reporter to appoint a deputy if the reporter is unable to join a call and has to report on the subgroup.
On subgroup status, so under outreach, we'll add a reference to who is information portal and consolidated who is lookup tool and registrant's benefit and responsibilities. There will also be an update to reflect that no independent expert is needed. On compliance, add requests to be fleshed out during interviews, between brackets, to the last two items listed in requested materials. On the subgroup first pass template, based on Lisa's suggestion, we'll modify the template and add a link to the work plan. For Monday's plenary call, so I'll be sending just after this meeting an invitation, a reminder to the review team to ask for a positive acknowledgement that they will participate on Monday's call, and also we'll add to Monday's agenda the item number one of the outreach plan and add GDPR, and I believe, I'm not sure I heard, but also the face-to-face meeting discussion, Alan?
That's right.
Okay.
And in the notice, also note the second decision that rapporteurs who can't make the call should identify who will be reporting for their group.
Sure. And would you like me to add the outreach document so that those who are on the call can still send comments or at least review it?
Yes, certainly.
Okay. Sounds good.
And there was one more thing I was going to suggest, but I can't remember what it is anymore now. So I guess it will come back up when I remember. All right. Thank you very much for this call, and I think it's been productive. And let's see how many people we can get to come to the Monday meeting. Thank you.
Thanks,
all. And the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.